One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I'ma get a scholarship to King's College. I probably should.
Hey guys, welcome back to Second Shot. How are you? Yes, you.
Oh, me?
Not you, Devin. The listener.
Oh, okay.
I was asking them, and I'm hoping they're responding right now. How are you? That's good. No way. I can't believe he said that.
Dude, what a dick.
I know, right?
What a dick.
Well, Devin, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great today, George. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah,
you know,
doing good.
We're getting ready to watch Avatar and talk about Avatar.
Ooh.
So I'm doing real good.
James
Cameron head over here.
Yeah, James Cameron. What a man. What a man.
What a mighty good man.
What a mighty good man.
I love John Mighty Goodman. Mighty John Goodman. It's a sequel to Mighty Joe Young. And we're into the show.
Oh, man. I would watch that movie.
Everyone should watch that movie.
It's got a gorilla-like build.
He was in King Kong.
Oh, yeah?
The new one, yeah.
Which is
awesome.
I still have to see that.
It's so good. Yeah. That same person that wasn't supposed to be talking. You know, this is Steve Squire, who's going to be watching Avatar with us in a little bit.
Hello, Steve. I'm good.
That's good. How's your week been? Have you been doing anything fun?
No.
Good. I'm glad.
I feel like the last week I've been spending my time watching Avatar, even though.
It takes about that long to get through it.
Yeah. God, you guys are such haters.
Isn't that the whole point of this?
No. That's a different podcast, as we've elaborated on other shows.
It's a different show.
We didn't steal their idea. God damn it. I had it before they made it. It's easy to hate. It takes strength to be
gentle
and kind.
Yes. Love is divine.
I love divine.
The love is divine.
Mm. Oh, I love divine. Mm-hmm. Divine, divine, the pines.
Between two pines.
We just like take good ideas that other people have done and just make them worst possible version of them.
There's something to be said about that. I think there's an art to that, and I think that's what
just the taking art of other people's ideas and making them better, right?
Yeah, like James Cameron.
Yeah,
making them better by making them worse.
A lot of people have said
we are the Avatar of the podcast.
Yeah, because we're great and we make billions of dollars.
Yeah.
We're the highest grossing podcast of all time until the Avengers podcast came around.
And we make love with our hair.
The Shield cast. we'll come back. We'll strike back with the Sword cast. It's just a podcast about the movie, the band The Sword.
Yeah.
I like middle of the road metal. It's really cool.
I used to fold so many sword t-shirts at an old job I had.
What was that job?
Just for like an online merch store.
Shirt folding job?
Yeah, it was like in a hot factory, no AC, just like it was super hot in there. You're sweating, folding metal t-shirts, but like you were actually in hell.
Oh, I don't even know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So it was all the glory of working a merch stand at that minus actually seeing live music.
Yeah, or going on tour, having fun. Yeah.
Just all the glory of standing behind a table and folding clothes.
Yeah.
And selling them to people.
I think it's Bad Religion or one of those bands like that. One of the guys was telling a story about like how he was in a band and he used to have to fold his own band t-shirts. And that was like really weird to him. I don't know if it was Bad Religion, but I feel like it was something along those lines.
We actually didn't. I guess we did a little bit of folding, but we had like one of those machines where you like send it through. You like put it on this little platform, and then like wave your hand over a sensor and it like shoots it in, like sucks it in, like a fucking
little plastic wrap thingy.
Yeah,
that sounds fun.
One of them. It was cool. It's kind of fun, I guess. I had a lot of time. I did like about that job that I had a lot of time to like just listen to podcasts.
Yeah, that's what I miss about factory jobs. I could just plow through. Yeah. Like, I would listen to like Pete Holmes podcasts, which are like longer than Avatar.
Yeah,
and I'd like listen to six or seven. Like, I would just be like, cool. That was like when I still like I like Pete Holmes, but that's back when I thought I still liked that podcast when it wasn't the same episode every episode. Yeah. Kind of like ours.
ours is vastly different from week
to
week.
I'll just keep talking about my divorce and my relationship with God with every episode. Devin, how was your week?
I mean, it was pretty good. It was Mother's Day this past week.
Mama's Day.
I got extremely, extremely drunk on Mother's Day. We like got off work and went over there. Like, she had like her friend over and her friend's son, who we like grew up with, Patrick Northern. He's actually going to be on our show.
He's going to be next week,
I think,
right?
Next week, yeah. And but like we played apples to apples. I wish we were playing apples to apples because it got really awkward. We played Cards Against Humanity.
You know, the apples to apples for grown ups.
Yeah. Assholes to assholes is what I call it. But no, it was fun. I just got really drunk and got even more drunk and then spent my entire day after Mother's Day extremely hungover.
Ooh. That sounds fun.
It made me never want to drink again. It was like throwing up bile and stuff. I haven't done that in a long time. And
it's pretty metal. Mother's Day metal.
Yeah, it was. It was
the metal Mother's Day.
Celebrating more R&B. With motherhood in the best way possible.
Yeah, by nearly ending my life. Thanks, Mom. I'm wasting my life. What do you do?
Well, I have my drive-in and my trivia this week.
Oh, weekend. Yeah, I gotta ask you, how did that go?
It went all right, you know. Yeah. I think I'm gonna cut it down to just one movie because I've realized that people don't want to stay for 4.5 hours worth of movies, regardless of how much I tell them how great Avatar is.
Maybe do like a movie and a short film.
Yeah, I think I'm just gonna up the trailers and ads and stuff to make those a little longer.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it went over well for the most part. The trivia was good. I did not expect as many people to show up as they did.
Oh, dude, and, people love The Simpsons, man.
Well, yeah, but we had probably like 15 teams, and I didn't think about scoring at all.
Oh, wow. Holy cow.
So I had to count all 15 teams. But luckily, my brother showed up too late to actually play, so I made him count with me.
Yeah.
So, because they didn't use the scorecard that I wanted them to use. Because I wanted it all to be on one sheet,
okay.
So it can make it easier for me to just, you know, count everything.
Yeah.
So every round, there were six rounds, and at the end of the third round, or each third round, I collected the sheets, and we'd do like an intermission kind of break.
Okay.
And I would count all the scorecards and everything, and it was just so, so hard, because each individual round had its own piece of paper. So I had to keep track of up to six sheets of paper per team. So whatever, 6 times 50 can do it again soon.
That's awesome. Was there like some hardcore, like, was there like somebody who was just getting like every answer?
Right, there were two teams that, well, there was a three-way tie for first, and they got out of 62 possible points, they got like 56 or 57.
Oh, dang. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think like one or two of the groups are just like regular trivia goers. Like, they just go to all the trivia. But I mean, they got some hard ones. Like, what is Duff's shark mascot's name? Which is like just an offhanded joke in the series, okay. And it's Shark McDuff, which no one would ever fucking know. And like the name of the Planet of the Apes musical, which is "Stop the Planet of the Apes, I Want to Get Off." But I mean, I tried to get some hard ones in there just to really throw some people off.
But they got it.
For the most part, yeah.
Dude, I seriously do suspect there's people that go to those like and have like some a little earpiece in. And, like, there's somebody at like some... like
I need that $25 bar tab.
In like a windowless van across the street, like searching all the answers.
There is a guy, it was a Happy Dog trivia I think I went to.
Mm.
He's just there. Like every week.
Oh man.
And he just wins every single time.
Yeah, it's like I went to Happy Dog 1 week for like Christmas trivia, and like the questions they were getting were like ridiculous.
Like, that's where I like, yeah, like regular trivia. It's like when they get into science and math and stuff like that. I'm like, come on, guys, we're drunk. Like, what do you want from us?
I'd feel like I'd do better in science and math than some people. And
yeah, well, if you're knowing 15 times 9.
I mean, yeah, come on. 15 times 6 is 90. Come on. That's. I'm a regular.
Math head?
I don't know. I was going to name a really smart math person.
Einstein.
Fibonacci.
Hey, yo, I'm a Fibonacci.
I'm a Fibonacci.
That sounds like a feminazi. Fibonacci was a feminazi.
Fibonacci feminazis. I call dibs on that band name. Feminazis talking themselves into a circle endlessly. I think that's the Fibonacci sequence.
It's like the opening of Mad Men.
Oh, man. Oh,
Fibonacci.
Speaking of like power to females, sort of power away from females, I got into, what's her face? Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men.
The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, The Handmaid's Tale.
I haven't watched that yet.
Oh, it's such a good show. I read the book back in high school, I think like 9th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like kind of like they did it really well, like kind of how I pictured it like back in the day reading it.
I've been hearing that. My girlfriend's watching it right now and says it's fantastic. I got to check it out soon.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I got to watch it. I don't know if I want to get that depressed over watching it though. I just feel like it's just like, I don't know if it's it feels like a depressing show. I actually don't know much about it.
It's like it's kind of depressing, but at the same time it's like thrilling and weird because it's like a dystopian future society. Mm-hmm. And it's like extremely relevant.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm just watching it basically just for preparation.
Mm-hmm.
Like
ready for the bombs to drop.
Yeah,
the lady bombs.
The lady bombs. I hope the lady bombs drop and get some of this shit out of here. But anyway, let's not get political. I don't want to lose any listeners since we have all those.
All 50 of them?
Yeah.
What do you guys think? You should go watch a little James Cammy.
All right, let's do it.
Let's go watch some Avatar. You'll see us. You'll hear us in 3 hours.
Hey, Devin.
Hmm.
I see you.
You see me?
I see you.
What are you talking about?
Please. You say you want to keep your people alive? You start by listening to her.
Those trees were sacred to the Omotakai in a way you can't imagine.
You know what? You throw a stick in the air around here, it's going to land on some sacred fern, for Christ's sake.
I'm not talking about some kind of pagan voodoo here. I'm talking about something real, something measurable in the biology of the forest.
Which is what exactly?
What we think we know is that there's some kind of electrochemical communication between the roots of the trees, like the synapses between neurons. And each tree has 10 to the 4th connections to the trees around it. And there are 10 to the 12th trees on Pandora.
Which is a lot, I'm guessing.
It's more connections than the human brain. Get it? It's a network. It's a global network, and the Na'vi can access it. They can upload and download data, memories, at sites like the one you just destroyed. Yes.
What the hell have you people been smoking out there?
Just to, like, it probably has not garnered us much, but I realized I had forgotten to do it, like, the past, like, 4 or 5 weeks. And so on the
even
way
if
here,
it's one person that follows it, yeah. You know.
I was waiting in traffic, and I was just like, oh, let's do it. Retweet, 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 like. Retweet, 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 like.
Retweet, 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 retweet,
like in our tweets, and we retweet on the streets, because you know we got those tweets, and we're freaks in the sheets, and we like it, 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 love it, like it, love it, want some more of it.
Steve, get in. You gotta end it with a man.
Well.
All right.
Well now.
You ready?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Dad, we're back with Ira Glass in the morning. Hi, I'm Ira Glass. You know me from This American Life, but you don't know me as the Shock Jock of the Morning.
And it's me, Ezra Ceramic.
Hi, Cerami.
That's my Ira Glass parent.
I don't call him Ezra. I call him Cerami.
I'm better than Ezra.
My only Ezra I like is Ezra Miller. You know, the Flash.
I like Esmeralda. And
we need to talk about Kevin. You know, I'm a sock jock. But you know, I do like me some art house films that This American Life did rub off on me a bit.
I don't know.
I don't know where I'm going with this. So yeah, we just watched a little multi-million dollar movie called Avatar. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Here, I'm looking at my notes. Oh, it's called Avatar.
Navitar.
Oh, right. Yeah. Navitar.
Yeah.
So I chose this movie.
Oh, so
this is my...
You're the defender.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a big fan.
Steven, let's fucking tear him a new one.
Yes, we will.
I don't think so. I think you guys are turned. I see both of you. And I can see through you.
Okay.
And I know both of you love this movie.
Okay. And how are you going to prove that in 60 minutes?
Let's find out. So, why I chose this movie.
Why did you?
I think it's a good movie.
Okay.
That was a... that's it.
Wow, that's...
No, that was literally my profile picture on Facebook for a while, which was me holding a sign that said Avatar is a good movie.
Really?
Yeah. It written in papyrus.
Of course. Was it written in papyrus or...
It was written typed in the Avatar font. But,
okay, yeah.
I legit think this is a good movie. I think overall, it's corny as fuck. I mean, it's got its cliches.
Mm-hmm.
It's got James Cameron written all over it,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, is a good or bad thing. I'm a James Cameron fan. I like him. I love him. I want some more of him.
Yes. And you'll just have to wait 8 years till his next film.
That's true. But, I mean, that's like anything. I mean,
yeah.
from Titanic to Avatar, I think it was even longer than that.
Yeah, it was a long time.
Mm-hmm. It was like 15.
He was just too busy exploring the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah. I think he did like... He helped out on a documentary, The Monsters of the Deep or whatever that's called. But yeah, I don't know. I think this is like... There's something about big budget, like, and this is the biggest budget, you know, kind of movie. There's something about big budget action movies that don't... Whether you think it succeeds or not, has this kind of heart to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, this is definitely a movie, and we'll get into this a little bit more too, but like, a movie that was mostly made just to push forward technology. Certain types of motion capture technology.
It was like this
3D
technology
and stuff.
This monumental revolutionary thing.
Like, I mean, it was backed by, like, I mean, I think he just created a new company for 3D technology digital 3D.
I think he invented like some kind of special camera or something for filming this movie.
Yeah.
But I think like usually those types of movies are hollow.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's just nothing like, I mean, this movie is, you could argue lazy in terms of its storytelling. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you could argue that he didn't care about the movie.
I mean, obviously, yeah, you know, you can't not care about it and work on it for 10 years or however long it took him to make it.
Yeah, but I mean, like what I guess what I'm saying is just like you can't, for these types of movies, this is the perfect example of a movie where it pushes forward technology. It is almost solely produced to make money, like any big budget movie. But like
the hype was ridiculous.
This one is just a machine, and he somehow found, whether he's succeeded or not, we can talk about, but like he found a way to infuse his heart. And I think he's a very genuine filmmaker, even when he's making bad movies, which he's made a few. But I don't know. I think there's just like, there's something very genuine about this movie that you don't see in these kinds of movies that, you know, are made now. What do you guys think?
Well, like what would like, I don't know. It's the story is something we've seen a billion times before.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, we're destroying the environment, Fern Gully. White people come to Africa, basically, is what it was. And, like, I don't know. I mean, rewatching it, when I first saw it, I saw it in theaters and in 3D, which was beautiful.
Like, the spectacle of this movie is undeniable.
Yeah.
Like, when you're seeing it the way it's supposed to be seen.
Right. As much as I hate this movie, I have to admit, when I first saw it, I mean, I saw it twice in theaters. I paid real money for it to see it in 3D. And there's definitely, I mean, that was the thing that kind of gave some merit to 3D filmmaking, especially at that time, where it's like, and that's what launched, I mean, countless theaters.
Well, it was
everything had become 3D. There were movies like directly after this that were like, oh, well, we have to go back and make it 3D now.
Well, yeah. And there,
yeah, this was the start of it. Oops. You're right. Definitely. I mean, they had done 3D movies, but like,
well, this is one of the first like digital 3D movies that was like mass produced.
Yeah.
This is the movie that basically forced theaters to make the change from film to digital projecting, which is, you know, I think overall a loss. Like, I love film.
Mm-hmm.
There's just the texture of film is just something you can't recreate.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there is something to be said about, like, I mean, digital projection, when done well, like, I mean, I hate the movie, but The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, David Fincher's version, is one of the best digital screenings I've ever seen. I mean, he shoots digital like I've never, like,
no one
else.
Is that the one that came out in, like, 2011 or 2010
something like that,
or
yeah.
something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that one.
We'll talk about that. That's another episode. But
I never saw that one.
But, I mean, just, like, I don't know, man. Like, I get that it's a story that's been done 1,000 times, but so has Star Wars when it came out. Like, I mean, it's like, I mean, you can't really judge. I mean, you can criticize it, but like, when I hear people talk shit about this movie, I hear that's the biggest thing. It's just, oh, it's just Fern Gully in space, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
and it's like,
right.
Well, yeah, but Star Wars is just Flash Gordon done again. Like, what do you want? Like, and I mean, it's the same structure. I mean, poor white boy comes into a whole new world and kind of becomes the best at it. I mean, this one's definitely like cultural appropriation to 11.
I mean,
but, and it's, I think there's something to be said about all of the Na'vi being played by black people.
Yeah.
While also representing Native Americans.
Yeah.
Big time. It was like a mixture of the two.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, that's not even what bugs me the most. I didn't hate it as much this time around.
He's coming around.
don't get ahead of yourself there.
Wait.
But, no, it's just the fact that, I mean, like, yeah, the cultural appropriation, but it's like, on the other side, it was all white people, too. Like, all the humans were. There was no other.
I think only non-white person was
Rodriguez.
Besides Michelle Rodriguez.
Oh yeah,
was the one, like, I think he's an Indian.
Oh right,
with the glasses, and
they're all side characters.
Yeah,
all kind of
like
but
none
think,
of the main characters.
I think that's kind of the point. Like, I mean, he's very like on the nose.
Okay,
like, I mean,
there's
no, I don't think you can say anything other than that about James Cameron. Like, he's never not been on the nose.
Yes,
he's a middle brow director through and through.
Okay.
You know, like, and then probably I think Terminator was the first and last time where he was trying to do something kind of edgy and something very different. Like, I mean, he's very much appealing to the broad spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Which, I mean, you know, it was a good and bad thing, I guess. Like, I mean, the first Terminator's fucking incredible.
Right.
I'm not a fan of Aliens. I know I get shit for that all the time. I've only seen it once, but if people want to come on and talk about that, cool. You know, Titanic, I really like Titanic. Titanic's lame as fuck.
Yeah,
and so is this movie. This movie's pretty lame.
It's a classic movie, though. It's a classic.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, he does very generic stories just really well. Like, I think that last, like, he's not a good, he's really, really, really good with action.
Mm-hmm.
He's really, really not good with everything in between it. I think at times, I think why Titanic works the most of his, like, human stories is because he's very good with the melodrama, and that movie is such a melodrama. I mean, it's literally just about class systems.
Yeah. But you gotta love Leo, too.
Yeah, and I mean, like, that movie is just so well cast. He also has a big problem with casting. Like, I mean, Sam Worthington, are you fucking kidding me? Like, Steve and I were talking about this while we were watching it. It's like, he is easily the second most forgettable actor.
He's pretty forgettable. At times when I was watching it, too, I just kept thinking, it was like, this is like fake Chris Pratt. Like, Chris Pratt was, like, discovered too late.
He and Jai Courtney are just, like, those two guys, like, when they're not, when you're not looking at them, you immediately forget about them. Yeah. Like, the silence in Doctor Who. Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Sam Worthington. It's
Fine. He's not like Jai Courtney, who sucks.
Yeah, he's just vanilla.
Yeah, he's just, there's nothing there. Well, like, and I think he's fine. Everything is
middle of the road. What did I say, he's forgettably handsome?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Look, Steve, what did you think about this?
Like, yeah, what you hated more than me. Dissenting opinion.
And, like, this didn't, I don't know. Because when I first saw it, I really, really liked it. Because I was just so drawn by the visuals, and I really liked that. And then the second time I saw it, I saw so many holes and just literally every possible cliche that he could throw into it, he just jammed it right in there. Mm-hmm. And, like,
go big or go home, right?
Right. So it's, yeah, and that's probably my biggest issue, along with, like, just lazy storytelling and really poor script writing.
Yeah, I get that.
My God. And that's true of most every James Cameron movie.
Mm-hmm. I will argue that Terminator 2 isn't that great.
Oh, yeah.
Other than the action stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Linda
Hamilton.
Linda Hamilton is horrendous.
Oh, yeah. She's not very good.
So is, what's his name? The kid.
Oh.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah.
They're both really bad in that movie. Oh, but he'll have, like, these genius casting moments, like Schwarzenegger, like Scott Lang in this movie. You know, he's so good in this movie.
Mm-hmm. I thought Saldana was also Zoe
Saldana.
Great.
I have such a crush on her. She can do no wrong by me.
Yeah. But I did write down that Scott Lang is at least in the beginning, he's basically trying to be a poor man's Arlie Ermy. And you could tell, I just got that sense. I'm like, I feel like he literally just showed him Full Metal Jacket and be like, just be this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like every person who's playing a military guy at this point. Like, you're either going Arlie Ermy or you're going, what's his name in Apocalypse Now? You're just going either like real stone faced and you know straight and narrow or just batshit.
I remember the first time watching it, he was a very intimidating character to me, and it definitely worked.
Mm-hmm.
The second time around, I mean, I had seen it, so I'm just like, oh, whatever.
Just like
it is kind of a movie that like loses a lot of its appeal after a first viewing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
especially without the 3D, man.
I mean, there are shots in that movie, especially at the beginning, like we were talking when they come out of cryo, that big deep, just how deep it goes. Like,
yeah. That's still like one of the most, I see that shot and I see 3D film and like, that's the shot that I think of when I see like the true scope of what you could do with 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's always the thing that I think of, like that's the peak of where you can go with it, and like everything else tends to disappoint.
It's weird because the peak is also one of the first where it's like there hasn't really, I can't think of many other 3D movies that I've seen, like even movies that are shot in 3D that are like supposed to be spectacles are just not,
it's like
not done well.
Yeah, like, that's, I mean, I usually don't go see movies in 3D
because there's no point.
Yeah, there's not, unless it's something like this or Doctor Strange.
I thought I was going to bring up Doctor Strange. Yeah. I thought the 3D in that was lame.
It was, I guess, like
everyone's like, oh, it's so trippy. I'm like, yeah,
I guess overall, it was really just that like 12 minute, or well, it was going to be 12 minutes originally. I think they cut it down to like 7 or something. The when he gets sent into the astral plane for the first time.
Oh, right.
That part was amazing. I watched
I think that was more just visually because it was just so Kirby.
Yeah.
That it was just like, ooh, I'm finally, they're bringing some Kirby stuff in here.
Oh, yeah, and they're bringing it in a big way.
And they doubled down hard on it in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh, yeah. And they're going to in Ragnarok again.
Good. Honestly, the last time, the only other time after seeing Avatar that made an impression on me in 3D was How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay.
That movie in 3D was so great. The first flight.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
That movie, 3D. I love that movie.
I do like that movie a lot. I just didn't see it in 3D.
But yeah, I mean, like, I think there is something to be said about him. This movie being one of the few, if not only, decent 3D movies, too. I mean, it shows that he has a craft. It's just not specifically telling a story. Right.
he's a guy that, like, the things that he does well, he does so well. But because he's such a, like, huge personality, I feel like he's kind of on the same plane as, like, George Lucas, where, like, no one wants to tell him no, or that this isn't good, or that, like, hey, maybe you should have somebody else do this part, like casting and script writing. And
yeah,
I think he works better without
directing action.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have your thing, let's work on our specialty.
I would love to see him do a movie, especially an Avatar movie, since apparently that's all he's going to do until he dies, written by other people.
Yes.
Because I think there's a lot here. Like, there really is.
There definitely is something there. Like, the whole thing of Pandora, I want to see more of that world, for sure, because it is a very visually intriguing world, and there's a lot of things that I feel like they could do with it. But I don't know what more, or what he's going to do with it, because it's probably just going to be some other kind of cliche movie, as far as script and all that.
I mean, I think there's part of it is he's part of an older style of filmmaking. Yeah. This movie came out in kind of a transition period. It's post Dark Knight, post 9/11 movies, you know what I mean? Like, and it was transitioning into this new, like, kind of Obama era kind of hopeful kind of thing, and it was kind of this, like, I don't think it was too late for this movie. I think it hit at the very tail end of it. I mean, there's a reason this movie is the second highest grossing movie of all time.
Right.
Like, people obviously enjoyed it because they saw it.
Isn't it, like, one of the best rated movies on Rotten Tomatoes or something, too?
I don't know about that. I would probably say not.
Oh, maybe not. I don't know what I'm thinking of then.
Maybe it is. I mean, it's possible, but...
Or maybe one of the worst rated on Rotten Tomatoes.
No, it's definitely not that.
Yeah.
It's
not any Adam Sandler movie made after...
No, X versus Sever. Is it Ballistic?
Ballistic.
That's the lowest rated movie on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know. I think there's a lot of fun things in here, and I think, well, I'm just repeating myself now, but let's go through some of our notes.
Yeah.
First
thing I want to bring up is just how god awful Sam Worthington's voiceovers and
it's terrible.
Narration is. It is, like, from the very beginning, there was a few points where I just felt like you could just hear him reading the script.
Yeah.
Like, well, I feel like that was more. I feel like that wasn't originally in the movie, or maybe some of it wasn't.
Yeah.
And that, like, they screened it and they're like, I don't know what's going on here. And they're like, all right, well, let's just put this voiceover. Because voiceovers are so lazy, and they disappear towards the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And it feels like there's some times where he's just like he's talking over things that are going to be explained as soon as he's done talking.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's just like, why are we?
Well, like, I feel like it's sort of like they tried to tie it into him doing his video logs or whatever. And then I was trying to, like, keep those together. But there would be times where I'd forget that he was even doing that. And I was like, there's no point to these.
Why is he talking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it was just real, like Steve mentioned when we first started, it's like it just starts.
Yeah.
It just kind of, like, goes.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah. And the whole conceit of his twin brother dying and him being just genetically compatible with his avatar It's just so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
They could have made a whole other reason for him to be there.
Yeah.
Right.
Because
he already had motivation to want to walk again.
Yeah, I mean,
they could have made it specifically for
him. The only thing you had to do was make up a reason why they made an avatar for him.
Yeah.
And they could have explained that in, like, two lines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But instead, he is the dumb twin brother of a supposed, like, PhD.
Yeah, it's the brains genius. Versus the brawn. But I guess now that I'm talking about it, it kind of brings up this, like, duality that Cameron was trying to do throughout the whole movie of Scott Lang and Sigourney Weaver kind of being like the brains and the bronze and the heart and steel and you
he's
know
the
like,
one that and Sam Worthington is the one that brings it all together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sort of, because he just kind of kicks out the bronze. He doesn't really do anything to bring everything together. But I mean, there's definitely stuff there, and you know, like when I. All right, I don't want to jump
by
ahead.
Scott Lang, you mean Stephen Lang?
Did I say Stephen Lang?
You said Scott Lang.
Scott Lang.
Scott
Lang
is Ant-Man. Yeah.
I don't know. Ant-Man
was another
good
3D movie.
Did I see it?
I didn't see that one in 3D.
I've given up on Marvel movies in 3D. They're like, they're all post-converted and they're.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's my biggest issue with this or with Avatar. In making 3D a big thing is it also ushered in the post 3D. And that is the worst thing to happen to cinema in a long time.
Well, a very big example of that was another Sam Worthington movie, Clash of the Titans.
Yes.
Which I guess had 2 or 3 weeks to convert it into 3D. And I think it's considered one of the worst 3D movies made.
It's horrendous.
My thing is, like, I think 3D is like, the spectacle's over. Like, 3D's not that incredible. Like, if you're going to do a movie with... just do a VR movie.
Mm-hmm. Right. And
well, that's going to be the new thing.
Yeah, that's kind of where I figured that it was going to go. Like, 3D would be here for a little bit, but it's just going to kind of be that stepping stone to getting us to holograms or VR or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of like what they were hoping with D-Box. Remember D-Box?
No, what's D-Box?
D-Box is where you get into a chair and it shakes and rumbles and
4D.
Like,
basically 4D. Yeah,
Valley View has a few D-Box seats, or they used to. I don't know if they still do.
I always just think of the Muppet thing at Disney World, the MGM Studios, where it like sprays water in you. And
Cedar Point used to have one too.
There was that. It was also 3D. I remember the Alien one.
Mm-hmm.
The Alien one was sweet.
Actually, there was an Alien one. Was really good.
Yeah, you could feel like the xenomorph breathing on the back of your neck and stuff, nice. And like.
And you go through the Chinese theater, like that's what the building is. Is like you're going into a movie premiere and you like go into Alien.
Yeah,
it's actually really cool.
See, like, but that's what I mean. Like, that's where it works when it's just a gimmick,
right?
Yeah.
When it's not trying to make art.
Yeah,
you know. And I mean, even if it's something like Avatar, which I'm not going to consider art, I'm just consider it a fun movie. You know, but. The gimmick works because I think it adds something to the spectacle, which adds to the movie because the movie should just be a spectacle.
Right.
But when you're trying to make, like, I'm trying to think of, like, a really ridiculous movie that's like, why is that in 3D? But, I mean, they're usually bigger movies.
Boss Baby.
Oh, I love Boss Baby. No, but, I mean, like, animated movies would be fine because you can just, the depth is already there.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I was like thinking, I don't know why The Social Network was the first one that popped in my head. I'm like, I'd love to watch The Social Network in 3D. But I mean, there's just like, I don't know. When it's a gimmick, I like it more. Like My Bloody Valentine in 3D or something like that. It's like, yeah, that just throws back to the trashy, like, get the people into the seats, doesn't matter how kind of idea of it.
Smell-o-vision.
I would kill for Smell-o-vision at this point. I would pay.
You would kill for Smell-o-vision.
Yeah.
You would literally take
I would pay
a
more
life.
Money for Smell-o-vision than a 3D movie right now.
Well,
absolutely.
The Navi would be very disappointed in you that you would take a life just to smell.
You remember the Rugrats movie? If you went to Burger King, they gave you a scratch and sniff thing for the Rugrats movie.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And like one of them was Dirty Diaper. I'm like, why are we paying for this?
Because
there was, like, numbers on the bottom of the screen. It's like, so the people didn't have it. They're like, why the fuck is there a number?
Shit in your hand, shove it in your face, give me $20.
Thanks, Burger King. And they also had green ketchup.
Oh, yeah.
I loved the green ketchup. Yeah.
Then they ended up bottling that shit.
And purple ketchup.
Yeah.
They made a whole series of it. I'm a big ketchup aficionado. what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I love the cliche of Giovanni Ribisi playing golf in the office.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, so you obviously know this guy's going to be the bad guy, or at least the asshole, because any asshole boss who just plays golf in his office.
Also, can you just, like, they had this whole, like, compound where they had, like, they were playing basketball and shit outside. Why didn't they have a putting green?
Well, that's what Steve said. He's like, why? He took all this time to put the grass in his room, but he's like, I don't have a hole for it, so I'm just going to use a cup.
I'm just going to use a mug. Yeah. It'll be fine.
You're in the most beautiful, like, landscape anyone has ever seen, and you're going to
stand have, inside like, this complex.
This is still my favorite part of the movie, that Sigourney Weaver's avatar also had a Stanford shirt made for her.
Yeah. Just knit me a giant Stanford t-shirt.
How about in the first 20 minutes, the three separate times that he almost gets run over by a mech or some large object? Like, he's how many times do you have to make that joke?
It shows that he's clumsy until he's a Na'vi, and then he just understands his body.
We know he's clumsy. He's in a wheelchair.
Whoa. We have wheelchair listening folk on this show, probably.
But also, just the fact that they, like, really emphasize. When they all start making fun of him, as soon as he gets off the ship.
Look, meals on wheels.
Like, oh, meals on wheels. Like,
make fun of the cripple.
Right.
Look, he got a bullet in his spine. What a pussy. Look,
someone who's been selected to, like, go to this fucking alien land.
He's also a Marine.
He's also a Marine, and it's other Marines. Like,
like,
what kind of asshole Marines are like, fuck you, you took a bullet for us.
Fucking idiot.
You
what are you, Professor X? I can't feel my legs. I can't feel my legs. I can't feel my legs. The only part of that movie I don't like. What else do I have? Oh, you know what? I was really surprised at how well, when he first gets into his avatar body, that when he's moving his feet and stuff, I was like, okay. I was like, kind of like, yeah, that really works. Like, it's like him realizing he can move with his legs and, like, wiggling his toes and stuff like that is, like, a big deal for him, and you kind of see it. I mean, that's another example of why the technology is so good in this movie, and the motion capture, especially in the face, is just so good. That, like, even, you know, Sam Worthington, who's just, like, you know, you're getting 6 out of 10 on this guy. Like, you know, but, I mean, he's selling it enough.
Yeah.
And then he starts running, and then it gets a little too much. But
yeah.
And then you see that Stanford shirt.
See the Stanford shirt, and then just it's like, oh man, but he doesn't know how to use his tail. Like, he forgets that he has a tail, so he's just gotta knock everything
over. Run before you learn how to walk.
But they're not supposed to be running yet.
Now, Letty is in this. I wrote that in all caps.
Letty?
Mm-hmm. From Fast and the Furious.
Yes.
Michelle Rodriguez.
Yep.
I only refer to them as their Fast and the Furious characters.
It always ties back. It always goes back to Fast and the Furious. When I was watching that last night with Claire, we actually, like, pointed that out. Like, literally everything has gone back to Fast and the Furious.
It's always going
some
to.
Point, some
all
way.
Roads point home. That's one of the taglines of Fate of the Furious.
God damn it. Do you hear that on Comedy Bang Bang F8 of the Furious?
No, I haven't heard that one yet.
Like, it's like F.A. to the Furious. Like, it should have been called F.U. of the Furious. Anyway, sidetrack.
Nailed it.
There's so many, like, little holes like that, though, in this movie. Like, what was I going to write? Like the fact that this one didn't make sense. When Zoe Saldana, what was her name? Netiri.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that brings me back to another one. They spend so much time her teaching him how to say the name right. Natiri. And then, like, when shit goes down, when they're, like, burning down the trees and shit and tearing them down, he's just, like, just clearly just, like, hey, Natiri! Just, like, the worst he's ever said in the entire movie.
Because shit's going down and a giant tree is burning. It doesn't matter about enunciation.
But no, like when she yeah. finds out,
my girlfriend's not gonna yell at me for saying "ain't" if the house is burning down. This ain't no time to argue.
God damn it, Jake Sully! You said not my a name word. Wrong. Oh yeah, they were making fun of him for saying the names wrong.
No, you pronounced the J. It's Jake.
Jake Sully. I love that they say it like they're French. Jake Sully.
They've already been imperialized by the French before this point. But when she's like surprised that like he knew about this the whole time, like, shouldn't she have known that when they like completely bonded consciousnesses and became mates and forever? Like,
okay, so yeah. Here's where everyone always makes fun of this movie for the hair sex scene.
Yeah,
it doesn't exist in this movie. They have sex, but they don't link their hair together. I don't know where their bits are going.
They do link their hair together.
No, they do not.
I saw it last night. They did.
I just watched it, too.
We just watched it, and it was not in there.
They connected their hair things. I saw it last night. I literally watched it last night.
I was specifically looking.
Yeah,
Abby was very adamant about watching the hair sex.
I swear to God, they connected hair.
See, I remember it but from, then they, like, the, from originally seeing it, but we were looking for it, and I don't.
You guys missed it.
Did they like take it out?
We watched maybe, it. We watched. Like, well, I bought it on Blu-ray. Yeah. The Blu-ray stopped working halfway through, So then I rented it on YouTube. We watched two different versions, and we didn't see it.
I saw an internet stream. This movie made enough money.
Oh, did you watch you might have watched the extended edition.
Maybe it was in that.
Did you watch was there a scene where I think it's Jake is walking through an abandoned building? That would used to be the school that Sigourney Weaver used to teach at.
Because
that's in the extended edition.
And there's like the little stinger bats or whatever they call them.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you watched the extended edition.
Okay, yeah.
So that's why. So you watched an extra 20 minutes.
Yeah, well,
the extended edition sucks.
I actually didn't watch the end of the movie.
You son of a bitch, the best part of the movie.
I tried. I watched the first half yesterday before work, then after playing
You're trying
soccer,
to get fired from this podcast.
I basically watched it. I watched it all the way till shit went down, and then they...
I think that's the best part of the movie.
Well, I know. I watched most of the shit when the shit went down, too. I just didn't watch the resolution in the very end.
When he turns into an avatar?
Yeah.
And they kick all the other humans off.
Sorry, Navi. Yeah.
And they burn down Mother Tree. I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you basically saw.
Yeah, I basically saw the most of it. But yeah, in that scene, they do connect. They connect their hair when they're walking through the hangy pink jungle.
They connect to a tree.
Well, they connect to a tree.
Well, that was earlier in the movie when they connect to the tree.
Maybe they don't do
it in the theatrical version.
They connected to each other's hair, and then I think they did more. I think they connected their hair and then boned.
They started making in the theatrical in the version we saw. They connect to the tree. He's like, I feel the spirits. They're all here, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, I want to, you can finally make, you can choose your woman. I'm like, oh, God.
but that woman has to choose me, too.
She already has. And then they start making out. And then, like, she gets on top of him, and then it kind of fades away. That's it. Mm-hmm. And they wake up, and, like, the forest is being destroyed.
Okay.
In a very Fern Gully-esque way.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean... In terms of the theatrical edition, which 99% of the people saw, because I don't think people went back to see the extended edition if they're like, oh, hair sex. There's no hair sex. Which I would have fucking been fine with the hair sex. I would have been like, yeah, that's how they work, all right?
It's more like a USB cable that you plug into each other.
I did write this down later in the movie. I'm like, so this, like, they put their braid on everything just to kind of connect mentally with it, but, like, who was the first Na'vi just, like, putting his braid on everything? Like,
yeah.
I was going to put it on this tree. Let's see what happens if I do it to a horse.
Yeah. What's this tree thing? Let me go rape this horse.
He's a pioneer, not a rapist. What else did it? Oh, yeah, like, she's about to kill him with the arrow, and then one of the little soul things just kisses the arrow tips. Like,
oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do it.
Well, I don't know why I'm, like, making this defense against the movie.
I know.
These are just things I like.
We're turning you, George.
Well, I wrote the alien wolf thing looked cool. That chases him.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was a cool
thing. Yeah. Some of the creatures are really interesting. Like, I like the big rhino hammerhead things. But then, like, the, like, wolf, dog, panther things are weird. And
they
then
all
there
look
was
too
the,
similar
like,
to human, or the earth.
Like, what would you call, like, the flaps that open on the... There was the flaps. One bird, like, the bird thing that he killed when they're learning how to hunt. Like, it, like, opens up its flaps. And
that thing was just, cool. It was very obviously just a deer with, like, headlights, but, like...
It was just, I don't know, something very odd about that one. But, just the way that the animals moved, just... It didn't have that same sense of movement, and, like, they had, like, no weight to them. Mm-hmm. And you could very, very much tell that they were 100% CGI. And, like, that kind of took me out a little bit. And then there was just a lot of points around that part when he fully goes into them that, like, everything is CGI. And it just ends up, like, there's parts where it just ends up looking like a video game.
Yeah, I mean, like 80% of this movie CGI.
Right. And, I get it. There's some real advancements and some really incredible things that they did with the CGI, but then there's also other points where I'm like, you couldn't have just, like, fashioned that together and made it? Like, especially the points, like, there was a lot of unnecessary CGI, like, in the base, like, when the humans are all together.
Yeah, like, their masks are CGI.
Yeah, like, why?
Yeah, there's no point.
I think part of that is, like, an audio thing.
Yeah.
That way they don't have to overdub their voices and stuff, but...
And also, like, speaking of the video game thing, the fact that the flying things that they choose or whatever were called banshees. It's like, is this just Halo?
Yeah.
I mean, those military helicopters look like Halo.
Yeah, they did too.
Yeah, they really
did. I mean, there's he's stealing from basically everybody.
Yeah.
Like,
any
but
kind
I
of
mean,
sci-fi.
I think he took the great artist steal. Thing a little too far because he's not inherently plagiarizing anybody.
No.
He's just taking, like, there's literally a he's trying to one up the very iconic Apocalypse Now shot of the sun, the plane coming in silhouette of the sun and stuff.
Yeah.
And just doing it with like 17 of them. And I mean, they did it. But, I mean, other movies have done it, too. I mean, the same way, like, right. King Kong, like we were talking about earlier, like, is literally just Apocalypse Now, but with King Kong.
Yeah. I mean, all art is inspired by art, other art.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I'm not calling this movie great art. I'm just saying it's fun entertainment.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good movie for that. It's a good middle-brow movie. But, I don't know. I'm just kind of like...
The one scene in the ceremony when they're all, like, shot from above and they're all, like, coming together around him. I was like, I like that part because it reminds me of that commercial when LeBron came back to Cleveland and all the Clevelanders are around him.
Yeah.
Like, fucking nerd.
Sports nerd.
Sports nerd. I should go drink some Gatorade. I mean, there's some real... I think the last pretty much half hour of the movie... Like, when they're all fighting back, is pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, the fight with, I'm going to say Scott Lang again.
Stephen Lang.
I will say, in the first time I saw the movie, the shot where Jake takes his knife and goes to stab him in the mech and just barely misses him, when it was happening the first time I saw it, I did the... and I was, like, really, like, yeah! And I'm like... I've seen a lot of fucking movies, and I've seen that done so many fucking times, but I've never reacted like that since I was like 6. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, I got that moment out of it, which is so rare and few and far between, like, and that's worth it right there.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that last fight is a lot of fun. If pretty generic, but I think it's well done. Yep. Intense enough.
I mean, there's a solid 45 minutes that they could have cut from this movie.
Oh, it's too long, without a doubt.
Way too long. And if they would have cut out those 45 minutes, I really feel like it would have been a much different film and just so much better. Yeah. But because of that, like, I have to hold it against it because it's just like, it just becomes, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it just feels like he's just like, oh my God, look at these visuals that I made. Like,
yeah. It's masturbatory.
Yeah, exactly. It's very much so.
I mean, he's I don't think he's ever made. Terminator is the only movie I think he's made under 2 hours.
Yeah, because I mean, Terminator 2 is
two and a half hours.
Two and a half hours. Yeah.
Aliens is 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. The Abyss is like 2.5 hours. Titanic's 3 hours and 15 minutes. Yeah. What else is there?
True Lies
might is long as fuck.
Is it?
Yeah,
is
it's
that even?
Long.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I mean, True Lies is great.
How did he make that movie that long? It's been a really long time since I've seen it, though.
What I like about True Lies is it knows it's goofy, mm-hmm. and it's, like, having fun with it.
I mean, it damn well better. It has freaking Tom Arnold in it.
Well, Tom Arnold's in a lot of his movies, I think. Or no, maybe. I'm thinking of. I don't know. There's just moments. Like, I just don't see how people can like the movies. Like, this movie, there's a very specific... His rousing speech to the Na'vi is literally just the Independence Day speech.
Yeah.
But I don't see like something like Independence Day, how people can watch Avatar and be like, yeah, well, fucking Avatar, but watch Independence Day and be like,
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's like, because Independence Day is lame as fuck.
Oh, it's,
like, it's got Will Smith, it's got aliens, it's cool, I get that. Like, there's some cool stuff in it. But that movie has so much, like, it's a lot of what people complain about with this
Avatar,
movie.
Yeah. Going back and watching it, like, doesn't hold up that much.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, that's really any, that guy. What the hell is that guy's name?
Roland Emmerich.
That's really any of his movies.
I mean, his spectacle is unmatched.
Spectacle is amazing, but anything beyond that is just unwatchable.
Yeah. I mean, like, 2012 has some of his best disaster stuff, like, ever.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to sit through 2 hours of John Cusack and Amanda Peet arguing.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's some cool stuff in 2012, and, you know, overall, like, I think it's one of his more solid ones, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to go with Roland Emmerich movies, that and Independence Day are probably his most solid.
I'd probably throw Stargate in there.
You know, I've never seen Stargate, so I can't really speak
Stargate is actually, like, that's probably
his most...
It's
got Kurt Russell in it, so you can't really...
Exactly, and I would say it's probably one of his more watchable movies, because it's, like, it's got some really, really dumb stuff, but, like, it's solid...
Mm-hmm.
I would say, and the action is really good. And
but I
then,
think that's,
know,
like,
Kurt
his
Russell.
First one, too. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's, like, in the same way James Cameron made Avatar. It's, like, that's the one where he had to rein it in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wasn't able to just let go.
And that was why it was probably his best.
Mm-hmm. Basically, what I'm saying is James Cameron...
The 1999 Godzilla.
...needs to... Oh, God. Matthew Broderick. Well, we're thinking, like, hey, who should star in this monster movie? Oh, Ferris Bueller, obviously. Simba, obviously. Old Simba.
Yeah,
we're going to do it. I don't know, guys. I'm just, like, kind of repeating myself now. Do you guys have anything else to say? I don't want to take up the whole conversation.
There's one hole of it. It's kind of minor, but it just made me laugh. Like, when they're trying to find him when he escaped, or when he gets separated from everybody else, and they're literally just flying around in a helicopter with binoculars. Like, they don't have any GPS in this like, creature that they created with, like, millions upon millions of dollars. They didn't think, like, hey, maybe we should put some kind of tracking device in that.
Like a cat chip or a dog chip. We have that technology now.
Right. Yeah. They don't have...
It's 150 years in the future.
Like. Yes, exactly. It all disappeared.
I was looking at the dates on his logs, and I was hoping that when... Just, like, I feel like this would be a very James Cameron thing to do, just not to hold back, but, like, when the Mother Tree is attacked and destroyed, that it happened on 9/11, because, like, there's no, like, it's very obvious 9/11 imagery, and, like, it's, like, a month before 9/11 in this movie.
Yeah.
But in 150 years in the future, no one's gonna give a fuck about 9/11.
No.
But I just love that idea. Like,
never forget. Can never.
It's true.
150 years later,
you won't forget. You just won't care. It's like the War of 1812. It's like, yeah, I know it happened. Right. I don't know anything about
if
it.
We're even on this planet in 150 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they said. Is we killed Earth, basically, and we're just it's all industrial. It probably looks like Blade Runner at this point.
No green.
You got a little shot of it at the beginning of the movie, but
the outside of it, yeah. We didn't see it, like,
Yeah, I think like on Earth. Everything is just because it's like a night shot or something, and everything is lit up like it's like, a city or something.
Yeah. Oh, really? I didn't miss that part. Yeah. I've seen this movie 6 times. How did I miss that part? Like it just because
you're not paying attention, George.
Obviously.
Yeah, you didn't even see the hair sex.
I'm not even a Navi head. Devin, what do you think? Let's get into closing arguments if you have nothing else to say.
Final thought, hit or miss?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, if I don't hate it as much as I used to...
That's on you.
Let's say it's like...
Compared to where you were at, I guess.
I don't think it deserves as much slack as it gets. Mm-hmm.
But it also doesn't deserve as much praise as it gets.
Yeah, the hype is just like so overwhelming, and like this movie was so worked up that it's gonna like change your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I saw this movie 5 years ago, or however long ago it was, when Ferngully came out.
He was definitely not 5 years from Avatar.
10. Yeah, that's a pretty big.
Came out in 1991.
It's a pretty big jump in technology because Ferngully is not very well made at all. If this movie would have had Tone Loc, it would have been a hit.
I think that's every movie.
Like if that panther.
That's why Blank Check is one of the best movies of all time. Yeah.
If that panther dog that was chasing him had started singing a song, yeah, it would have been a hit.
It's the funky comedia.
It's the funky Pandora tiger.
It's the funky I'ma eat ya.
Bang, bang, bang. I sound like a drag queen. anyway.
What are you eating, honey? Just like a diner waitress. So it's a hit and miss?
It was close. It was close. I didn't hate it. And I just like the fact that it took me 2 separate watchings of watching a full movie to even get halfway done to
finish.
Well,
just wait. We'll do all the Lord of the Rings extended edition soon.
All of them?
Yeah. You can't watch one without the others.
It has to be like a 3-part series.
I just skip the
first
one. Yeah,
we'll do 3 episodes. Okay. One of each. I'm into that. In the same way we do Star Wars.
I'm into that. I will say it wasn't a hit for me. We got to go miss. It was close to being a hit, but I am excited. I love the world of Pandora. I love visuals. And
love visuals.
I love visuals. I love facials.
Putting that on a DVD box art. Love visuals. Devin Newsom. Second Shot Podcast.
You're going to love these visuals. But I don't know. I'll watch whenever fucking Avatar 2 comes out.
Yeah, we'll definitely do an episode on that in 5 years.
In 5 years, yeah, whenever that comes out. And I do want to go to Pandora World.
I will absolutely go to Disney World for
and
that.
And I really want to know what that Pandora weed is like, son. It's got to be crazy shit.
And you know that. Smoke of the pipe.
Maybe that's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for Pandora World to finish getting built so he can finish filming there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's been working on Pandora World instead of making a new Pandora.
Yeah, exactly.
What about you, Steve? Is this a hit or a miss for you?
I would say it's still a miss, but it's a little closer to a hit than it was when I... Because, like, I still do not like this movie, but...
Boo.
I guess I don't hate it as vehemently as I did. Because, I'll give it that there are some parts that are legitimately great.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, would I sit through another 2 hours and 45 minutes? Absolutely not.
Would you see Avatar 2? The re-avataring?
At some point, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
There's no way to call it Avatar 2, also, because he's not an avatar anymore.
Right.
Yeah, it's...
Right.
We'll call it...
Navi.
Well, maybe
Second
they'll
Life?
They'll Second just fully shot. Go into the guy from Dodgeball. They'll just... He'll be the new main character.
I like that we only talked about him during while watching the movie, and we said nothing about him during the podcast. Because he's so useless in this
right.
movie.
Oh, what's his face? Josh something with an L?
Yeah, he's just as forgettable, but he's that guy. He's like, oh, that guy.
Yeah.
He's a guest in Dodgeball. And
even his IMDb, he's basically in everything he is ever in. He's just a store clerk. He's a video store clerk. He's a convenience store clerk.
Yeah.
He's a gun dealer in the guest. I like him. I have nothing against
right.
him. Like,
I don't have anything against the guy, but it just seems like a very odd casting choice.
This whole movie's odd casting
choice. All the casting, yeah. They just put Sigourney Weaver in there and be like, oh, aliens. And
yeah. Like, hey, we're making a sci-fi movie, and you have to be in it because you're Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. For me, it's still a hit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still goofy. I know what it is. Like, I mean, I mean, I enjoy it. I still, like, I think it's a fun, just if your friends feel like sitting down for 3 hours and having some beers. It's a good, like, just watch this movie and, you know, get sucked into the good parts, like the action and stuff, and then kind of just joke around about how goofy, and it's very easy to make fun of something that is very genuine.
Yeah.
You know, like when you hear someone talk about like genuine fantasy and you're just like, those nerds. It's like, that's kind of like, it's fun to do that and I get it. But at the same point, it's like, yeah, but like, we're just making fun of someone who's just genuinely like trying to make something, which is like very 2017.
Yeah.
But at the same point, you know, I get it. Like I'm right there. I watch Tim and Eric. I love Mystery Science Theater, all that stuff, blah blah blah. But yeah, I it's a hit. It's definitely a hit for me. Like, I mean, I would probably say it's one of his weaker in his filmography, but it's definitely not his weakest.
Cool.
I don't know. Yeah.
What's your least favorite James Cameron film then?
That I've seen? Because what? Let's go through. There's Terminator. Aliens. The Abyss. Terminator 2, True Lies, Titanic,
Fern
Avatar. Honestly, and everybody's going to hate me for this, I'm going to say Aliens, because it's the only one I've seen that I didn't like so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we just need to go back and rewatch it, because I think a lot of why I don't like Aliens is because I love Alien so much.
Yeah.
And it's such a different movie.
It is.
And it's so slow, but not in the right ways.
I will give you that, and that's an issue that he has in all of his movies. Yeah. There's points where it's just like, just move on.
Yeah. For the I think love the dialogue of God, move is on. Really bad in that movie. Like, it stands out even more than this one. Like, this one, I think, is just like, this movie doesn't look good unless it's on Pandora. Like, when it's outside at night, I think it looks amazing.
Yes.
But the rest of the movie looks pretty boring and very like just milk toast. But I don't know. It's a conversation for another time. Yeah, I'm all about it.
I did like Zoe Saldana's one line too. It made me laugh again, and it instantly
like a baby.
Yeah, you're like a baby making noise. Don't know what to do.
I was half like expecting you to go into the song for like a song from the Jungle Book or something.
I mean, if I can make that mashup.
Bare necessities.
That's what the second one will be. They're going to have a kid that gets lost and gets raised by one of the animals on Pandora.
I would love that. I would love a Pandora Tarzan like type scenario, even though it wouldn't make sense because they couldn't breathe the atmosphere. He just develops like gills.
It'd be a very short plot, and then just 2 hours of a dead child on the ground.
I would watch that movie. What was I talking about the other day? Like, I'm a big fan of when children are killed in movies. It's like a big, it doesn't matter to me how terrible the movie is. As long as like a kid dies, I'm like, at least he had the balls to do that.
At least I killed a kid. I do. One of my people that know me know that I love, and even actually a lot of people that know me don't know this about me, but I love watching videos of little kids getting hurt on YouTube. It's like my favorite thing in the world. It's so fucking funny to me. I don't know.
I'm into it, man. Like,
Not real. I don't want to see a real life kid die, but I mean, a fake kid die.
Sure. Wait, so it's not like YouTube video, like home videos. It's like,
no, maybe it is home videos. I like to see. I don't like to see real kids die. I like to see real kids get hurt. It's fucking funny.
I mean, that's what. Like, I mean, to my point, like, I was like, I like Alien vs. Predator 2 or Alien vs. Predator Requiem simply because the first person who dies in it is a child. Like, I saw that movie opening day in the theaters, which was Christmas.
Okay.
The first thing you see is a face hugger just jump out at a child, and then just, like, an alien burst out of its stomach. You don't see the alien burst out of its stomach, but like, it's assumed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, cool, I'm in. That movie's garbage.
I don't even remember that movie at all.
It's really bad.
I'm pretty sure I saw it.
I mean, they're both really bad, but, like, I mean,
the first one I remember mostly because of the scene when, like, they're falling down the ice chute.
Yeah, I remember.
See, I don't even remember that one because that's Paul W.S. Anderson who did that one, who did all the Resident Evil, or most of the Resident Evil movies and Mortal Kombat and stuff.
Makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I have a soft spot for those movies, even though the new one was hot garbage.
You should do a podcast about the second Mortal Kombat movie sometime.
See, I've never liked the Mortal Kombat movies though.
Oh, they're terrible. But
I would watch them.
They are
again
very watchable in the sense of, like, they're both watchable in the sense of how terrible they are, but they're both terrible for drastically different reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, the first one, you can tell that they actually had, like, some planning to it, mm-hmm. and they had some heart and people cared. And then the second one is just a complete and utter cash grab, and you can tell, like, just in the way that they tell the story, they're literally just going from character to character mm-hmm. in the game, like, with no transition whatsoever. They're just, like, wherever they needed to be.
I've never seen the second one. I want to go back and watch it.
Oh, it's got some of the best visuals I've ever seen in my life.
So many boobs. So many boobs.
I don't even think it has that because it was PG-13.
Yeah, it was PG-13.
Because, you know, let's make the most violent video game ever made into a PG-13 film.
Grand Theft Auto was the same way. That was way before the game was ever made.
They made a Grand Theft Auto movie?
Well, it was a Roger Corman movie with Ron Howard.
Oh, God.
It was like in the mid-70s, I think. Mm. So it was way before, but it was not good.
Yeah.
Speaking of boobs, would you or wouldn't you Neytiri?
100%.
Oh, totally.
I have such a crush on Zoe Saldana.
She's hot. She's hot even.
I was telling Steve, I'm like, this movie is just made for people with fetishes of giant women and cat people.
Oh, I didn't even think about the cat thing. That was hot, too.
But, you know, they refer to them as monkeys.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they all look like very much like
that's
cats.
That's just Giovanni Ribisi being incredibly racist.
There's been so many Avatar porn parodies.
Well, of course. Yeah. I'm into it.
Avatar XXX.
That's where you link your hair braids.
But it's funny because they're, like, they're painted blue, but, like, as the banging starts happening, just like the off. Paint just starts coming off.
Well, it's like the Simpsons porn, too. It just looks like a bunch of people with jaundice starting to have sex with each other.
Oh.
Okay, bye. Actually, do you guys have anything to plug? Anything you want to talk about? Coming out in 2 weeks?
Not anything to plug, no.
No, we're going to have already done the
Yeah, the show will probably be out.
I think we plugged that already, but anyway.
Yeah, I don't have much. I got the drive-in. We're just doing Pink Flamingos this month on June 10th at May Halls. Come to that. It's free. It's fun. Free popcorn. Cool. Get some drinks. You know, all the good stuff. And then,
what day is that?
June 10th.
It is. That's
a Saturday night. And then let me look up the day for the July. We're doing a cross thing with May Halls. We're doing a dance party. A Wet Hot American dance party.
What?
And then I'm showing Wet Hot American Summer first. And then right after, it's going to be a dance party, and that is July 8th, I believe.
Hmm.
I believe I don't know exactly what's going to go on. I might do, like, just show some Stella episodes or something. It's just Dave and Wayne and Michael Ian Black related stuff while we're
Can we
dancing.
Do get a giant zoot suit and do the song?
Zoot suit, zoot suit.
I don't know
what's Z-O-O-T.
So, yeah, come to that. Maybe I'll just turn on the show. On YouTube or on Netflix, but I don't have to do any prep for that.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, that'll be fun. Again, all free. I don't know about the dance party. I don't think the dance party's free. But, you know, you can choose not to come to that. You know, you can just come hang out with me.
So pay $5, come have fun and dance. It's fun.
So June 10th and then Wet Hot American Summer, July 8th. So yeah.
Sweet. Oh, that's perfect timing, too, right after Independence. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So... All right, guys, we'll see you next week.
Adios.
Bye. Because you had to be a big shot, did you? You had to open up your mouth.
Rudy Vega.
And all he does is eat beets.
All he eats, yeah. He just likes root vegetables.
Devin, what's your Steve, what's your opinion on Drew Vega? Or Lou Vega?
I don't know who either of those people are.
You don't know who Lou Vega is?
Other than, I mean, that's
Mambo
the guy.
Mambo number five.
Okay. I mean,
let's move this up to you a little bit more.
I heard that song 2 weeks ago, and it so I forgot that it existed.
Ride to the candy store.
A little bit of home in my life. A little bit of Jessica by my side.
Here we go. I got, I'll bring you a drink. Like, hey, just got you mojitos. Ooh, I need a little bit of mojito in my life.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.